Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From protests on Wall Street about income disparity among our American population to the way big money is changing our elections, I am Mike Peskin for Brian Lehrer on WNYC and WNYC.org. Let's check in on the state of campaign finance right now. It's been 20 months since the Supreme Court Citizens United case opened the floodgates, often through the formation of PACs and so-called super PACs, who can make unlimited contributions to political campaigns. If you thought PACs played a big role in the 2010 midterms and all the elections before, the super PACs are bigger, as the name would imply. Paul Blumenthal is a reporter with the Huffington Post covering money in politics. He was previously a reporter for the Sunlight Foundation, which tracks campaign finance reform. Paul, welcome back to WNYC.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So on Monday, Facebook launched a FB PAC. Let me quote what the Facebook spokesperson says. The Political Action Committee, quote, will give our employees a way to make their voice heard in the political process by supporting candidates who share our goals of promoting the value of innovation to our economy. And in other words, he was saying everything that anyone who operates a PAC ever says. Is the Facebook PAC any different, or at least an indication of what the landscape looks like?
Well, it's definitely an indication of what the landscape looks like for communications and particularly internet firms nowadays in Washington. I mean, you're really seeing, Google has moved into the same role that Microsoft has held in Washington for a long time as sort of the leading lobbyer as Washington takes a closer look at their business practices. And Facebook sees that, you know, that is probably going to wind up happening to them as congressional committees become more interested in privacy issues or issues related to consumer safety and the kind of product. And I think it shows users of Facebook, which seems to be almost everybody, that, you know, this isn't just a website where you go to talk to your friends. It's a giant corporation with a lot of interests. And a lot of those interests are being challenged and fought over in Washington, and that's through lobbying and campaign contributions. Gives you another way to talk to your representative. And for a company like Facebook, which likely employs a lot of people who support Democratic candidates and President Barack Obama, this gives them a way to spread out campaign contributions to people in the other party so that they don't look like they're just a cash cow for one particular political party, which is sort of what happened to Google and why you see Republicans pay a lot of attention to bashing them over net neutrality or other issues, as they're the third biggest contributor to President Barack Obama's 2008 campaign.
So business PACs like to spread it around to at least give the impression that they're bipartisan?
Yeah, I mean, that's a big reason to have one as a company. And you see that increasingly among these tech companies that, you know, started off pretty young and you know, their CEOs or their employees give money to whomever they support. And they sort of need to balance that out by showing that they support both sides. And, you know, when they say we're going to talk to people and support people who believe in innovation or you know, whatever the language that they use, you know, that's what they're saying is, you know, they want to be able to bring their views to members of committees. And one way to do that is to, you know, pay $5,000 to go to a fundraiser and talk to them there.
So let's turn to the 2012 elections. PACs come into play sometimes in the primaries, or they had in the past, but mainly they were a general election phenomenon. Now that's changing a little bit, and there are PACs supporting specific candidates in the Republican primary. Is it just that it's the question of these PACs are bigger and more powerful than they have been before, or is it an entirely new phenomenon?
I mean, in the past, there have been these sort of candidate-specific organizations. In the 2008 primary, then-candidate Obama attacked John Edwards for having a 527 that was run by a former employee of his. But now you're seeing these on both sides and with way, way more money. You know, even President Obama has one run by his former aide, Bill Burton. You have this one called Make Us Great Again, and they all have these sort of innocuous, awesome names about how great America is.
I don't know innocuous as much as impossible. Very pie in the sky there, yeah.
Exactly. And, you know, this one is run by the former chief of staff turned lobbyist for Rick Perry, and their plans are to raise $55 million just to spend within the primary. And, you know, money like that is just sort of unheard of for an outside group. You know, American Crossroads, which is the Karl Rove-linked group that spent a ton of money in the 2010 election, didn't even come close to spending $55 million. I mean, this is sort of a ridiculous amount of money for an independent group. And, you know, American Crossroads themselves, which sort of operates as a Republican party, you know, as a shadow Republican party, is planning on raising and spending $240 million, which, you know, it is maybe about a third of what a political party normally raises, but it is just a crazy amount of money to imagine for an independent group.
Is all this money about TV advertising? Is that where the bulk of it's going?
The majority of it for these independent groups is going towards TV advertising, but they also do other activities, including direct mail, phone banking to try to get supporters out, and some grassroots work. But the majority of it winds up going towards television, which, you know, candidates and parties tend to raise and will raise more money than these new outside groups. But, you know, they split their money on a lot of things, and it's not just all advertising. But a lot of this new outside money, which topped $300 million in 2010 to set a record in a midterm election, and it's going to likely be far, far more than that, double or triple that in the 2012 election, is likely going to go to television advertisements, and they're mostly going to be negative, and it's going to be really hard for anybody in the country to, you know, avoid seeing these negative ad campaigns from these groups, you know, called Americans for a Greater America, you know, on any show, whether it's football or, you know, Saturday morning cartoons.
So if, America's for Americans being American-y Americas. But, you know, what you're saying there, we're going to see tons of ads and tons of negative ads, and you're not going to be able to turn away from them. That not only seemed true in 2010, 2008, 2004, but it seemed as true can be. The mind can't even comprehend what an arms race, what those last elections times 5 or times 10 would look like. I guess the question is there evidence that all the extra spending on the things you were talking about, direct mail and TV advertising, will actually have an effect on who gets elected?
Well, I mean, I think that studies usually show that negative advertising works. I don't know if even more negative advertising works than it already does, but I think it makes people feel like it's working, and it certainly gets a lot of money into the hands of consultants who run these kinds of operations. So I don't think they're going to slow it down, depending on the science of what works and what doesn't. But it's definitely been shown that negative advertising helps change the perceptions of voters, particularly swing voters. And there have also been studies that show that negative advertising actually has more real information about
issues.
Yes,
the content
of
negative advertising. Yes, because the positive advertisement, some, you know, glowing shot of the candidate in a wheat field and the candidate nodding when he's listening to some guy in a construction hat. That's not really.
It's morning in America, an advertisement like that, yeah.
Right. Then, of course, the content might be what Rick Perry doesn't want you to know, is he doesn't like puppies, et cetera, et cetera. So here is a devil advocate question. If Rick Perry has a lot of people spending money for him, or a lot of PACs spending money for him to get the Republican nomination, and Mitt Romney has a lot of money for him to get the Republican nomination, and Backman maybe has a little less, and Huntsman less than that. Is it really unfair?
I mean, it's not necessarily unfair for the candidates if they can compete on this level. You know, what it's unfair for is the public, as you know, their role in the election becomes diminished. And because you have these unlimited contributions that are going to these less accountable organizations that are, you know, not technically allowed to legally coordinate with the candidates, but, you know, it's sort of obvious what they're doing here. And the candidates will know that if they get elected, thanks to, you know, $10 million from some home builder or some hedge fund manager, they're going to know where that money came from, and they're going to, you know who to thank. And if you know, the public is concerned about $2,500 going to a candidate from a particular individual, then I think that they should really be concerned about, you know, millions of dollars.
The Times and other places have reported that Citizens United had an unintended consequence, perhaps, and that is increasing the level of transparency. For instance, courts have rejected efforts by groups opposed to same-sex marriage to keep their supporters and spending secret. Is this a major development and a major unintended consequence of Citizens United?
Well, I don't know if it's actually increased the level of transparency. It's definitely increased the court's standing on transparency as an issue. And so you have lower courts are now ruling in favor of other organizations, saying that, or in favor of states and other disclosure laws, saying that the Supreme Court and Citizens United, you know, affirmed the right for the disclosure of information. And you've seen this on in a few other cases. But the actual real effect of the Citizens United ruling on transparency has been to reduce the amount of disclosure in our system as it's pushed campaign spending into super PACs, which can raise money from nonprofits, and nonprofits don't have to disclose where they get their money. And it's also pushed money into these nonprofit organizations that can now run electoral advertisements and don't have to disclose where they get this money. And you get that from, you know, a group like Crossroads GPS, which is another Rove-linked organization that is part of American Crossroads and plans to also raise, you know, tens to over hundreds of millions of dollars for the next election. And they're not going to disclose where they got that money, and the public is not going to know. And so it's a real challenge. I mean, in the 2010 election, you saw a significant reduction of disclosure around campaign spending to where almost 50% of the outside spending by these independent groups was not disclosed to the public.
In previous elections, what was it?
The previous elections before that, it was around 90% was disclosed. You know, we're talking about a pretty vast change.
And so what effect does the you could imagine what effect being more secretive might have, but did we see that? What is the effect of more anonymous donation?
I mean, the effect of more anonymous donations is that the public is left in the dark as to who is paying for the advertisements, trying to influence them, trying to buy an election. And then, you know, we wind up with candidates who can get elected to office thanks to some, you know, a few $100,000 or a few $1 million injected to an election late by a nonprofit that is basically, you know, being hired as a mercenary by a corporation that can, you know, funnel money into it, say, please run ads in this race. We don't want anyone to know where that money comes from. And then when that candidate gets elected, you know, they can wind up being pressured. And the public is not aware. They just know that some, you know, another innocuous-sounding nonprofit talking about how great America is doesn't support this candidate or does support them.
Yeah, I wouldn't argue that more anonymous donation was in any way a good thing. But I think back to the Swift Boat campaign, which, you know, the Kerry people who wanted his election will always say that that was a major thing that sunk it. And we know who donated to that campaign, but it didn't seem to really stop it.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know if disclosure is necessarily going to stop this kind of spending, but it does keep the public informed and it provides some level of accountability, especially when you get to elected people actually working in their elected positions.
Paul Blumenthal, reporter for The Huffington Post and a former senior writer for the Sunlight Foundation. Thanks very much, Paul.
Thank you.
Be back in a minute. I'm talking to Beth Fertig about the School Book Project. Stick around.